Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes. Sitting in for Derek Taylor is Mitchell Blair.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan, and welcome to the Sports Cage. Mitchell Blair with you. It's a Sports Cage on location. We are at the Brandt Center this afternoon. Tonight, the Regina Pats will take on the Saskatoon Blades, 7 o'clock. Dante DiCaria will have the call for you. It's a busy sports weekend on 620 CKRM. Of course, the Riders tomorrow in Calgary to take on the Stampeders. That's where DT is. Tomorrow, I'll be up in Saskatoon. The Rams and the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Canada West football action. We'll hear from Rams coach Mark McConkie before this show is over. But I'm joined right now by Connor Bedard of the Regina Pats, number 98, the buzz of the Western Hockey League and the hockey world. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's good to be talking to you. I know you and I have talked before this year. I know we talked a couple of times over the phone, but it's good to talk to you face-to-face. How's the first month been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, obviously, last five games have been tough, but you know, I think we're playing well, and if we can kind of keep that up, we'll definitely get more wins down the road.
Yeah, certainly this isn't a team that, you're 2-5, but the record I don't think indicates that. Three of those games have been against a Winnipeg team that's really right now coming out and just clubbing everybody, and you guys haven't been beaten by much by them. I think it was, 6-3 the other night, but the other two games were close. You're right there, it seems, but Winnipeg just might be at a level just above everybody else right now.
I don't think that's an excuse we can make. I think that's obviously a team in our league and going to be one of the best teams, like you said. So if we're able to, you know, put up good games against them, and obviously, you know, what our goal is to be able to beat teams like that so we can, you know, go far down in the playoffs.
For you, and you're a team guy, there's no doubt about it. For you, you came into the bubble last year. Everybody was wondering what Connor Bedard would do, and you dazzled before you went to Texas and then were one of the top players at that tournament. It's been a little bit different this year, though, and I know you and I talked about that earlier this year because you've had the bus rides. It's not just going from the dorm to the university and that. So how much has it been different this year for you than what it was last year?
Yeah, I mean it's been different, but you know it's not too much different. I mean you're still playing, and I don't think the bus rides have affected my legs too much. I mean it's been the last five games. You know, for me, I haven't scored, and you know, like I said, our team's struggling. But you know, I think for myself, I'm definitely getting the chances, and same with our team. So it's just been a tough little stretch for us, and I think we'll hopefully get out of it.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of games this year. I know right now you've got 5 points in 7 games, 3 goals. But you've had your opportunities. I was here for the Brandon game. You ripped one off the crossbar. You had another great chance, and you were stopped by the Brandon goaltender. You're playing your game, and that's what obviously you're supposed to be doing. You're not trying to do anything more, just like the rest of the guys, to win. You've just got to play your game to be successful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in a stretch like this, it's definitely a learning curve for me. Obviously, you know, in like Pee Wee and Adam and stuff, you don't go on many 5-game goalless droughts, but you know, this is such a good league that you're gonna, and you know, I think just trying not to grip my stick, like you said, you know, crossbars, and you know, I think I've been getting a little unlucky, but you know, hopefully I can kind of turn the tide soon.
I think there's a lot of people going, when is Connor Bedard gonna break out? And I think the answer is it could be any game. So for those of you maybe on the fence tonight as to whether or not you want to come down to the Brandt Center tonight, might be the night where Connor Bedard breaks out. I know you're certainly hoping so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely nice to see the puck go in, and hopefully tonight's the night. But you know, we'll see.
Regina, obviously you're a BC kid. Last year you didn't get to see a lot of the city because of the bubble environment. Do you get a chance to go around Regina and just sort of see what the city is like? Do people know who you are? Do you like that recognition if people know who you are? What's it been like for you the first month here?
That's been good. I mean, obviously it is a big change from BC, and you know, but I think it's been pretty cool to live here, and you know, I've definitely enjoyed it. And I honestly haven't really got recognized outside of the rink, so, you know, I can kind of just do whatever, and you know, I as of now, I haven't been recognized, so, you know, it's been good, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun to live here.
Is that a nice thing for you not to be recognized? Because I would think for a 16-year-old kid, that could be a little bit bothersome. I know it's bothersome for some members of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders when they go out and they get recognized because they just want to do their thing. They don't want to be bothered, and I'm not saying that you're not that type of person, but it's nice to sort of walk around in that anonymity, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, either way, I think I'd be fine. It's you know, it's something that if someone does recognize you, you know, you want to take your time with them, and you know, they're taking their time with you. So, but I mean, obviously, it's you know, there's positives and there's negatives with everything. So, it's definitely, you know, just kind of going around and doing whatever. But you know, it's definitely been good to live here, and it's been a lot of fun.
What have you seen around the city?
Honestly, not too much. A couple golf courses, and you know, just kind of drove around and looked at it a bit. But you know, I haven't really been sightseeing too much.
What do you shoot?
Oh, not great, like 90s.
90s?
Yeah.
Ryan McNally, if you're listening back at the station, Connor Bedard shoots in the 90s. You guys might have a competitive game with one another. Is it tough for a 16-year-old kid from BC coming across the mountains to the prairies to play hockey? You've obviously got a great support network. I'm sure your Billet family is loving the fact that you're there, but what challenges do you have being by yourself without your mom and dad around?
My mom's actually here,
so okay.
That makes it a little easier. But, I mean, either way, you know, Billet family or living with, you know, a parent, it's just different. But, you know, I think, you know, it's something I want to be. Obviously, I want to be here. And you know, I don't get very homesick or anything. So it's definitely been good, and you know, I'm really enjoying it.
The league itself. As I said, you got a taste of it last year. You haven't seen any teams in the Central Division. You're playing the same teams over and over again. I'm guessing you want to see a Calgary, a Medicine Hat, and Edmonton. What have you learned about the league in your short time in it?
Yeah, you know, I think coming from midget, you just realize how much bigger and faster guys are, and there's just so much less room. I think probably the biggest difference is just how much people are devoted to their systems. I think, you know, you don't really get guys out of position too much, and obviously every level up you go is it's going to get more of that. And then, you know, you're just playing against 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds. So that's a bit of a jump, but it's definitely been fun.
I got to ask you, a lot of people sort of say he's the next Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid last night, 2 goals, 200 career goals. That game was on TV, as all the Oiler games are. How much do you watch Connor McDavid? Is he the guy that you sort of... he's the guy that you want to watch, or is there someone else that's your favorite NHL player?
I mean, I think if you like hockey, you got to watch him. I think if he doesn't get a point or two, it's just shocking, which is, you know, crazy in the best league in the world. And you just see him, and I mean, I think we're different players, but, you know, if I can be compared to that guy, it's pretty special. But, you know, to be able to reach that would obviously be very hard, just, you know, what he does. And even if you just watch him, if he doesn't score, he's just all over it. And it was pretty impressive. I like watching other guys, too. I'd say my favorite players are Crosby, Matthews.
Do you play NHL 22?
Not that much, really.
Not that much? Okay. No. I was going to say, who do you play if you're NHL 22?
Yeah.
Getting back to McDavid, have you guys had an opportunity to chat with one another or not?
I was in Toronto once this summer, and I was working out where he was just for like a week. And I actually got to work out with him a couple times and then skate with him once. And then, you know, he talked to me a little, so that was pretty cool.
It's nice to learn from those guys, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, In BC, you know, I skate with pro guys, and you know, probably the biggest name would be Barzal, and he's someone that, you know, has kind of taken me under his wing in a way, and you know, it's pretty cool. He's even texted me after these 5 games to just keep shooting. And
Matt,
you know,
Matt Barzal, a guy I love him. He's a guy around here because of Pat's history. He's
not popular
around here,
yeah.
But that's all right. As you said, you know, you're just sort of getting your feet wet this year because it is a different environment. You know, as you said, the puck hasn't gone in, but I don't think there's any lack of confidence there. As I said, you're just ready to break out. It's just a matter of time as to when that's going to happen. And when it does happen, I think there's going to be a lot of Regina hockey fans that are going to fill this rink to see you. But is there any pressure on you to do that because people are expecting so much? And I know that's maybe not a fair question to ask, but obviously people are, you know, the expectations of fans are this kid should be coming out every night, dazzling the, you know, dazzling us, and that hasn't happened. Does that sit in the back of your mind at all? I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I want to do well myself. I want our team to win, and, you know, I want to do well, like I said. But, I mean, you know, I don't think that's that's added pressure for me. I think I put more pressure on myself than a fan that's coming to watch could. So, I think, you know, just trying to play well, and obviously our team play well. So, you know, but it's so good to have those people back, and you know, hopefully I can, you know, make it a good night. But I think it's just our team. You know, we kind of need to get going, and you know, hopefully look for some wins.
Yeah, and obviously, as I said, it's been a tough couple of weeks for you after winning your first two, but win will always change, turn things good, and this is a Blades team tonight that I know you think that you can have some good luck against. So, Connor Bedard, thank you very much for the time. Great talking to you. Let's do this again, and best of luck tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right, that is Connor Bedard, number 98 for your Regina Pats, and he'll be on the ice here tonight, 7 o'clock with his teammates against the Saskatoon Blades. When we come back, we'll talk to the head coach of the Regina Pats, Dave Struge. You're listening to The Sports Game on 620 CKRM.
It's 4:18 with the afternoon rush, week 12 in the CFL. Friday Night Football, it's a huge game for first place in the East. Argonauts at Alouettes kick off at 5:30 Saskatchewan time. And the Bombers will have to try and clinch top spot in the West Division standings Saturday without running back Andrew Harris. Bombers have placed Harris on the six-game injury list Friday with a knee ailment. BC is in Winnipeg tomorrow at 5. And the Dodgers kept their season alive last night with a huge 11-2 win in Game 5. The Braves now lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 going Saturday in Atlanta. The Astros can punch their ticket to the World Series Friday night at home versus Boston as the Red Sox will try to force a Game 7. First pitch for that one goes tonight at 6:08. Heading back over to the Brandt Center with Mitchell Blair.
Thanks a lot, Zinger. Hopefully the Houston Astros didn't go and buy some batteries for their buzzers tonight. We can see a Game 7 in the American League Championship Series. As for the Dodgers, would somebody just please finally kill that team off? That's, what, 7 straight elimination games they've won over the last 2 years? But, yeah, baseball this weekend, a big weekend, football, hockey. It's going to be a big weekend. And we're a lot of it right here on 620 CKRM, including the Pats game tonight against the Saskatoon Blades. We're down at the Brandt Center. We talked to Connor Bedard a few moments ago, and now we talked to the head coach of the Regina Pats, Dave Struge. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mitch. Twice good. In 1 week.
Yeah, twice in 1 week. This is good. Nice. Although we're not doing what we said we were going to do. We said we were going to sit down at some place.
There was a BP zone
and have a chat over a couple of cold ones. We still got to do that, but we can't do it this afternoon. Your team's 2-5, but really I don't think that's anything to be worried about. You know, you and I talked this week. 3 of those losses were against Winnipeg, and yes, they are a team in this league, and they're a very good team in this league. They blew up Moose Jaw the other night, but they haven't done that to you guys. But you guys have been right there. You just seem to be just a break or two away.
It's the scoring. We're doing lots of really good things. We, you know, the game that we lost 5-2 to Winnipeg, they very well could have blown us out if it wasn't for Matthew Keeper. We could have seen a score like we've seen. He did a great job. He did his job. And we didn't help him out that game. The other 2 games, we approached it like playoff hockey. I know it's hard to say that this early in the season, but the simplicity of our game in those 2 games, the home and home, was exactly what we wanted. We didn't score. We equal chanced them as far as good opportunities. We outshot them in 1, and we're close in the second as far as shots. We played the right way. They are a good team. They're an elite team. I look back to our year 3 and 4 at what kind of team we were. This team might better that team as far as elite depth. So the overall look of our team and how we've played has been good for us, and we can learn from playing against teams like that.
The young man we had on to start the show, Connor Bedard, obviously I don't have to talk to you about the pressure he is under. It's got to be different for everybody around here, having someone of his stature around here. You take a look at his numbers. He hasn't done, I think, what fans were expecting, especially after what he did in the bubble last year. But this is a kid that just looks like he's ready to break out at any second. What's he like in the room? How different has it been for you having to deal with like somebody that's said to be the next one? What's it like dealing with him? Because to me, it seems like he's a normal 16-year-old that's very good at a game we all love.
It is. There's no difference at all. I mean, he's got a lot of different media pressures and things like that. But I think that's pressure that a young kid would put on himself. He doesn't. He just carries himself as a young 16-year-old teenager with lots of attention. And you look at what he's going through as far as his game, we look at it differently. We think he's playing fantastic. We look at what he's gifted offensively with the puck. He has to learn how to play without it, and he's doing that. So the daily teaching, coaching, learning from him, the commitment from him to become a better hockey player overall is there. If he wasn't getting five, six, seven chances every night, then there'd be a problem. But he's getting those chances, and you said it, Mitch. It's just a matter of time before something really good happens for him.
I have to ask you this because I've had a couple of people ask me, and this is not a criticism of you at all. I just want you to know that before I ask the question. I've had some people go, why does Dave Strouche have Connor Bedard on the third line? Shouldn't he be on the first line? What's the answer to that question?
And there's no first, second, third, or fourth. You're going to see him on the first line tonight because there's been a line change, and it just happens to be the three guys at the top of the line. So that's, I'm glad you asked that question because it's funny for outsiders to see that. Geez, I could put the D-men first if they wanted to. So it's for those ones that don't understand the game, it's funny. So it is what it is.
Well, it's funny because I had somebody tell me that, and I said, because they asked me that because they come to the games. I don't know if they've got season tickets or not, but they're like, do you ever talk to Connor Bedard? And I said, I've talked to him a couple times. He's like, what do you think about playing on the third line? I said, that's a question I'm not asking Connor Bedard. And I sort of told him, like, earlier when he was on and we were off the air or whatever, I said that, you know, I was going to ask you the question. And then it got asked again, like, why is Bedard playing on the third line? And I'm like, I'll ask Dave Strouche because I know the answer to that question, but I just wanted you to say it yourself.
I change that top line every day in practice so everybody gets a chance to be on that top line. So
he's a guy that obviously is somebody that people should watch. Matthew Keeper is. Riker Evans is. I know yesterday, and we'll have it on Pat Chat later on this afternoon, Cole Dubinsky's also a guy that's really turned some heads in the first seven games of the season. But as you and I were talking about yesterday, that was sort of expected from Cole Dubinsky, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were expecting a lot of that, you know, in the past, and we've seen flashes of it. I think what everybody's noticing is that it's a consistent one right now. And that comes with age, maturity, those types of things. The way he's carried himself in practice, the daily routine, has been one of more professional approach to his game to coming to the rink. And I think that's paying off for him. But we need that to stay pat and continue to get better because, like I said, we've seen the intensity in his game. We've seen the skill. We've seen the feistiness. Those are things that he has internally, and we need to see the more action of the consistency come out here and continue to help us get better.
I haven't seen all seven of your games. I've seen a couple of them. In both of those games, I've taken a look at Riker Evans and gone, man, as good as he was last year, he's better this year. The time in Seattle certainly helped him, and I think you're seeing that improvement as well from him this year.
Yeah, and we say thank God he's here because he's a pro. He's an NHL player playing in the Western Hockey League, and if you ask anybody in Seattle, they'd say the same thing. And we're very fortunate that they sent him back to us to help develop his game and his character and his personality and his professionalism because what we do with him during the year doesn't match what any of these kids do in the off season. And Riker takes on that ownership. And I think a lot of it is due to what he does there away from everybody and away from everything hockey, when he's working out, when he's eating the right way, he's getting the proper rest. All those things that nobody sees, those are important things in life.
And your goaltender, Matthew Keeper, he's been outstanding. NHL yeah. Central Scouting recognizing that this week. But again, I'm thinking this is a performance that while he's played well this year to start off with, this is what you were expecting from him this year.
This is, you know, that's why he's picked where he was picked. It's good on our scouting staff to have seen that, to see the possibility of a future for him and the possibility of where he can go with this development and the opportunity to play the amount of games that he's going to play.
The Blades 4-1-1. You guys are 2-5. Just talk to me about this Saskatoon team. They're obviously a very good hockey team, but I think they're a hockey team that if you guys put the 60 minutes in, as you could say with any team in this league, you can beat.
Yeah, small, fast, skilled. Tristan Robbins, Krinkovic, two highly regarded players, elite players, gifted offensively. The way we played our last two games against Winnipeg, we matched that, bottled it up, poured out on the ice, and hopefully get some puck luck and score some goals, help with some success.
how different is it and how nice is it to be in here this year, come out from under the tunnel and have some fans and have it be a real game? And obviously last year you were playing a real game, but it was just in front of very few people because of the bubble. How nice is it to be playing in front of fans? And has that energized you guys? Because a couple of games last year when I was here, games that didn't even include you guys, it just seemed like that part was missing with the players because there was no adrenaline that could be pumped up because of the fans and that. How much different is it this year knowing they're back behind you?
Well, normalcy, it's everything that you just said, Mitch. I mean, the normalcy behind having fans and then being a part of that entertainment side of it, as much as these kids are playing the sport and out there working their butts off, there is that element of entertainment given to these fans, and the energy that, you know, they provide us is there for us, and it's nice to be a part of it.
And for you, I'm guessing it's nice too that you can go home at night because you didn't have that chance last year, and I know that was tough on you and your family, especially because the bubble was here. It must be nice for you as well to come back and forth from the rink to home and have that normalcy as well, because last year some people might have thought, well, you're just going back and forth between the dorms and that. As the host team in the bubble, that was a tough year, wasn't it?
Especially knowing those guys, our family was two blocks away. Yeah. So that was, it was tough. But they, you know, we had to be strong with each other, and it's nice now to look up and see them in the stands for our games, and it's nice to be around and a part of their activities as well. So it's important.
Sounds good. Struscia, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right, that is Dave Struscia, the head coach of your Regina Pats, and you can see him on the rest of the Pats tonight here at the Brandt Center when they take on the Saskatoon Blades in a 7 o'clock start. We'll have some football talk for you when we come back. If you want to have some investment opportunities, Aaron Karolnik, one of the TSN prop masters, will be in with me to talk about what we should maybe put some wagers on this weekend in the CFL, and we'll give you some rider news as well. You were listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Oh, you can keep Cyndi Lauper going. This might be one of the first cassettes I bought as a young scruffy. Dated myself with that, but oh well. I think those of you that know me know I'm getting up there in age, but that's all right. Mitchell Blair with you at the Brandt Center, Pats and Blades tonight. 7 o'clock start. We'll have it for you. Dante DiCaria on the call. Pats will be in Saskatoon on Sunday. Of course, the Riders take on the Calgary Stampeders tomorrow. 7:45 is your kickoff. I don't know why they're playing it at 7:45. Why don't they just start it at 8? I'm not sure about that. We'll hear from DT later on in this show. We'll hear from him in hour three. Rider changes today that you want to know about. Duke Williams and Shaq Evans are in. Ricardo Lewis is out. Damon Webb and Jeremy Clark are going to be in the starting secondary. The, who else? Blaise Brown out. Christian Campbell out. Joffrey Onyeka out. All of those players placed on the sixth game today. I had a chance to chat with Jeremy O'Day at the Subway here on Evraz Place before they took off to Calgary, and he was just saying, you know, man, he says, what can you do? And I said, you know, injuries are, you got to be, injuries are one of those things that, you know, you've got to be good at that as well to be successful. Winnipeg has not been bitten by the injury bug this year on the O-line. Zach Collaros has not been hurt. Brady Oliveira subbed in for Andrew Harris. Where are they? Well, you see where they are. Injuries play such a huge factor, and it's played a huge factor for the Riders, as I said. Three more guys placed on the six-game list today. Clark, Onyeka, and Christian Campbell. That's 17 guys on the six-game list. And, it just makes the task that much tougher for your Saskatchewan Rough Riders as they go into Calgary tomorrow night to take on the Stampeders. All right, I am joined on the Western Pizza Hotline by our good friend Aaron Karolnik. Aaron, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Mitchell. Great to be with you. My first question for you, what was Jeremy O'Day's Subway order when you ran into him?
He got himself a couple of the crispy chicken sandwiches on a potato bun, I believe. He had a little of the sweet onion sauce, a little cheese. Oh. It was good for that.
So, that's a man after my own heart right there.
And the only question I have about the crispy chicken from Subway is, like, if you're getting the crispy chicken from some of the other places, it's ready to go. This stuff's sort of sitting in the container. So is it that much crispy when you get it? That's the question I have.
I guess that's still the beauty of the toasted sub, Mitchell. That's
exactly
where the innovation came, and that's where we've gone as a society. It's a significant advancement.
It's still good, but I just sort of, you know, that's the question I have. Another question I have tonight, Aaron Karolnik, is the Toronto Argos are favored by 1.5. Matthew Schilt starts at quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes tonight. Trevor Harris not ready to go yet. To me, it would seem that Toronto by 1.5 is a pretty safe bet if making, quote, an investment opportunity.
Investment opportunity indeed, my friend. I'm with you. And I think the Argos are a team that are getting healthy at the right time, still missing a few guys both on offense and defense. We will not see Eric Rogers tonight for the Argos. We will not see Cam Judge tonight. But Charleston Hughes back in the lineup, and we know he's had a substandard year, putting it mildly, but perhaps the Argos have been saving those reps for the second half, and he's able to make an impact. Another interesting note for tonight's game for the Argos, we know that Winston Rose is back in the CFL with the Bombers, and Trey Roberson's back in the CFL with the Calgary Stampeders. The Argos starting a guy named Jalen Collins at boundary corner tonight. He played for the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl when they blew the 28-3 lead. He had 11 tackles in that game. Generally speaking, when a corner makes 11 tackles, not a good sign for your defense. So hopefully the Argos defense plays better than the Atlanta Falcons defense played in the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
You know, when I saw that name on the lineup sheet, I went, why does that name look familiar? And I knew it wasn't a CFL name, but that's it. Yeah, he played for the Falcons. I forgot about that. All right, good. Hey, talking about the Rider game, Saskatchewan opened up at -1, and that surprised me considering what's gone on in the past two games between these two, and then the fact that Calgary clubbed BC last week. The line has now changed. Instead of -1, the Riders are now, or I guess Calgary's now 2.5 points. How surprising is that to see that big of a spread change, especially when Saskatchewan was favored to start off with?
Well, I think there was a lot of hype, Mitchell, about Shaq Evans making his return, Duke Williams making his debut. But I think, as we're well aware, it doesn't really matter who's playing wide receiver for you, if it's Shaq and Duke or Jerry Rice and Larry Fitzgerald. If you can't protect your quarterback, then it does not matter. So for the Riders, who were facing three-man, four-man rushes against Calgary for the last two games and not being able to slow out that pass rush at all, unless they're able to rectify that situation, it doesn't really matter who's playing wide receiver for this team. So I imagine Jason Moss and company spent the bye week trying to articulate a game plan to slow down the Calgary pass rush. If that is indeed doable tomorrow night, then yeah, I think Saskatchewan can stage the upset for sure. And I can tell you one thing, Craig Dickinson's looking at his team tonight being like, guys, I can't go to Christmas dinner and sit across the table from my brother and be like, I lost all three games to you this past season. I hope that Saskatchewan is looking at themselves in the mirror, the offensive line, and Cody Fajardo, who I think ultimately has been a disappointment considering what we saw from him in 2019. Maybe there's a second half run in this team, and if there is, it needs to start tomorrow in a game that is without doubt the most important game of the Riders' season.
Aaron, you bring up a good point about Cody Fajardo. It certainly hasn't been the season he had in 2019. I think a lot of us didn't know what he would do in 2021 if this was sort of a one-and-done thing as far as that type of season went. Cody Fajardo has still shown us he's a CFL-level quarterback, but Cody Fajardo just hasn't had that talent this year that he had in 2019. So is it fair to label the first bit of the season, the first half and a bit here, as a disappointment for him? Because I just think maybe it's just the fact that he just hasn't had the weapons to work with he did in 2019.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And there's a confluence of events that all coincide together whenever you're talking about the performance of a quarterback. You know, the offensive line is a huge aspect of it. The offensive coordinator, I mean, I had such high expectations for the Riders' offense with Jason Moss coming in, and we know historically he's put together some of the most potent offenses in the recent history of the Canadian Football League. There's really no excuses anymore for Cody Fajardo, Jason Moss, and this Riders offense. Yeah, you can look at the offensive line, but you bring back Shaq Evans, one of the best wideouts in the Canadian Football League, and you add the best guy from 2018 in Duke Williams coming straight from the NFL. No more excuses. It's do or die. And in my opinion, I'm not going to call tomorrow a must win because Saskatchewan will make the playoffs regardless. But if they want to host the West semifinal, then it's a must win because I think you look at the final games for both Saskatchewan and for Calgary, a lot of W's on the schedule for both of those teams. So with this head-to-head showdown coming up tomorrow at McMahon, ooh, baby, a lot of pressure on the Riders offense to get it done against a really quality Calgary D.
Expectations for Shaq Evans and Duke Williams. On this show yesterday, we were talking about what Duke Williams would do on opening night for the Riders in his debut performance for them. I was in that, and Zinger was in that, 5 to 85 with a touchdown range. If you're looking at prop bets on Duke Williams and Shaq Evans this weekend, what are you looking at? Because, you know, both of them getting on the field, both of them haven't played in a while. Will they be on the field every play? Do you sort of temper the numbers down with looking at a prop bet with these guys this weekend?
It's a very fascinating question, Mitchell. I think looking at Shaq, a guy who's been off for so long with that serious injury, I would temper my expectations for him just a little bit. Who knows exactly how he will respond after being off for so long. But there are no excuses for Duke Williams. I mean, the athleticism is there. We saw that outrageous catch he made in practice, that one-handed snag that looked like he was catching a tennis ball. But in fact, it was a football. It was totally unbelievable to see those type of hands. And that's what Cody Fajardo needs right now. He needs those outlets. And we've heard the comments, the 50-50 balls. There's no one better at the 50-50 balls. But 5 for 85 and a touchdown, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me. The talent is there. Will the execution be there from the Riders' offense, from the offensive line to Cody Fajardo? I think that's where that decision will ultimately fall.
When you take a look at prop bets for the Calgary Stampeders, I think you got to take a look at the rushing numbers in Kadeem Carey. He has really started to elevate his game, especially against the Riders. He also had a big game against BC last week. I didn't catch the number for him today on the over or on the rushing yards for him, but I would have to think if it's around 70 yards that you would take the over with that.
Kadeem Carey has been between 60 and 70 yards almost exclusively throughout the course of the season, and I'm with you. I think this is a game that will be close, and Calgary loves getting Kadeem Carey involved early and often, and rightfully so. He's been a very, very quality back for this team throughout the course of the season, and I heard Danny Austin on your show yesterday talking about how Kadeem Carey, talent-wise, is up there with almost any back in the Canadian Football League, and I think Calgary recognizes this. And I think on the other side, William Powell is going to have to perform as well. And I know coming out of the bye, I'm sure there might be a little bit of a renewed emphasis on the run game as there was in the first game against Calgary. I think that running back showdown will be pivotal in determining exactly who reigns supreme tomorrow night in Calgary.
There is no doubt that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are favorites to win the Grey Cup this year. If you put a bet on them, you're not going to get much back. There's no guarantee in sports. We know that. Even though Winnipeg improved their kicking game, we haven't seen if Sergio Castillo will be the answer or not. We know it gets a little bit tougher in the playoffs. Right now, if I was to put some money down on a good investment opportunity, as it's called, I love that phrase, by the way, who would I be looking at? And I'm just going to throw this one out at you.
Okay.
Would the Toronto Argonauts be a team to put some money down on? Toronto has beaten the Bombers this year. They're first in the East right now. You know that somebody from the East has got to come out. Is the money, maybe some smart money, should be laid down on the Toronto Argonauts to win the Grey Cup?
It's like you're reading my notes right in front of me. Because, yes, the Argos, and you can see the Argos at about 6.5 to 1. Winnipeg is almost even money to win the Grey Cup. And this is richly deserved. That team is outstanding offensively, both sides of the ball. And now with Sergio Castillo in the fold, they really have no weaknesses. But the Argos, not only this year, beating them at home, a game I was at back in 2019, the Argos played very, very well against Winnipeg's defense, which was probably better in 2019 than it is in 2021, and it's really good in 2021. McLeod Bethel-Thompson, out of all the teams in the Canadian Football League, has the best numbers by a significant margin against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So when you think about the factors at hand here, the likelihood that the Argos host the East Final, the Grey Cup game being played an hour away from Toronto, and you know how supportive the city of Toronto is of the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, just tremendous.
Tremendous. Swaths all from all over the GTA heading down to Hamilton to support their team, no doubt. So I think there's a lot of positivity coming from the Argos, especially, number one, if they can get Charleston Hughes back to even a reasonable facsimile of what he was in 2019, that would be massive, because Sean Oakman leads the league in sacks right now, and you add Charleston Hughes to that front four. That's very impressive. You get Cam Judge back as well. You add this Collins kid, who was a second-round pick out of LSU in 2015, started for the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. The defense looks good. I mean, has not looked good recently, but maybe Chris Jones can work some magic, and maybe it will be an Argos Super Bowl, Grey Cup appearance like it was back in 2017.
And before I let you go, the last couple of years for me picking NFL games has been pretty good. This year I think my cats could pick better than me when it comes to the NFL. I just have had no luck this year. I get one good week, one bad week. I've been more successful with prop bets than winners. What have you got for me for NFL on Sunday?
Ooh, good question. I was looking at the Chiefs, and this line has really moved significantly from open. Open at Chiefs -4 has been bet all the way to Chiefs -5.5 against the Titans team, as we saw on Monday night, that really got banged around against the Buffalo Bills. A lot of injuries defensively. And when you take first-round picks and studs on the D-line out of a already pathetic defense that the Titans pose, that's not a good formula against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, which I think righted the ship a little bit last week against Washington. So I'm on the Chiefs, and I think there's some credence, maybe, just maybe, at looking some of the big dogs. Talking about Arizona's an 18-point favorite against Houston, the Bears 12-point underdog against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Some really big spreads, and of course, the Goff-Stafford Bowl between the Lions and the Rams, 16 points, maybe Jared Goff, maybe, just maybe, the 0-6 Detroit Lions can keep it close against the Rams. I think that is probably my number one pick. As painful as it is to suggest betting on the Detroit Lions, I think maybe they can keep it under 2 touchdowns.
When do you sort of get your eyebrows raised? Because there are 3 games this week with double-digit favorites. When do your eyebrows get raised when you see double digits? And what number is almost too high?
I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are the biggest favorite for that franchise since 1970.
Wow.
So that's one stat for you. As far as double-digit favorites in this calendar year, in this NFL season, 6-2 are double-digit favorites. So they're at least, to this point, the double-digit favorites have done a very good job of covering against the spread. Is that something that will continue historically speaking? No. But maybe we're in a different era where the bad teams in the NFL are really, really bad. And I can tell you, Houston really stinks. Detroit is 0-6, and hard to imagine they put up much of a fight against the Rams. But you keep it within 2 touchdowns, you cash your ticket against the spread. So that would be my recommendation on an investment opportunity, my friends.
Sounds good. Aaron, thanks a lot for the time. Are we going to see some UND2 with some prop master bets on the weekend or not?
Absolutely. We have one out for the Argos and the Owls right now on the TSN Edge Twitter account. We'll have one for Riders and Stampeders tomorrow afternoon as well.
All right. Sounds good. Aaron, thanks for the time. Good luck with what you put down, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mitchell. Have a good night.
All right. Aaron Korolnik, TSN Edge, one of the TSN prop masters with us. And, I got the Argos tonight. The Ryder-Calgary game will be close. Do I take the Riders to cover? Haven't decided on that one yet. Zinger, where are you on that one?
Do it. Do it, Mitchell.
Do it?
Yep.
All right.
Roll the dice, right, baby.
Hey, if you can't roll the dice last night with NHL games, Came home with a three-play parlay for $50. I'll take that.
So how much worse are you this year at NFL betting compared to last year? Because I know last year you won a few times.
It's been terrible. I've had one good week, and this is what, week seven?
Mm-hmm.
The rest have been average. Any wins I've had, they haven't been big in total. But I'm having a hard time picking winners this year.
I usually have a pro line win by this time of the year. I have zeros so far this year, so don't feel too bad.
At least I can say on pro line, I haven't had anything in the NFL, but I've had four in the NHL, and we've had what? We're a week and a half in?
Yeah.
And I've already had four, as I said.
Four winners.
I won 40 last night. I even had on a FanDuel contest last night. Even finished fifth and took home some coins. So NHL season so far, it's been good.
I might need to slip you like a $5 bill, and you can go to the gas station and get me NHL pro line, man.
All right, sounds good. NFL, not so good. NHL so far, not bad. I like it. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish off hour one right after this. You're listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Holmes today. We're live at the Brandt Center, Pats and Blades tonight. You're listening to 620 CKRM.
It's 4:53, Mitchell Blair in for Derek Taylor. Today we're broadcasting live from the Brandt Center ahead of tonight's big game. There's four games in the NHL Friday night. San Jose's in Toronto, Boston and Buffalo taking on the undefeated Sabres. The undefeated Sabres? Kings and Stars and the 4-0 Oilers visit the 1-2 Vegas Golden Knights later tonight. Ben Simmons has reportedly told the 76ers medical professionals and head coach Doc Rivers that he is not mentally ready to play to his expectations, adding another layer of uncertainty to when and where he will make his regular season debut. The 76ers are in tough tonight versus the Nets. And yes, indeed, we are live from the Brandt Center as the Regina Pats hit the ice tonight as they try to snap their five-game losing skid. The Saskatoon Blades are in town. It's the first of a home-and-home. The Pats head up to Saskatoon on Sunday. Pre-game show tonight at 6:35 with puck drop at 7. Right here on 620 CKRM, the sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090. Let's head back over to the Brandt Center. How's it looking right now, Mitchell? Any mini donuts to report?
No, not yet, Zinger. I'm not far away though from the mini donut stand, but right now though they're
jealous.
Not. I know they haven't. Should I tell them to save some for you tonight?
Yeah, get them to send a couple packages down to the corner of 12th and Rose downtown. I'm going to be producing the game tonight, so that'll
sounds
be nice.
Good. By the way, have 55 queued up here because we're going to get to that before the top of the hour. Yeah, we're down here at the Brandt Center. If you missed the first hour of the show, as we're getting set to wrap up the first hour, we had both Connor Bedard and Dave Strushon. You can catch that. When Zinger puts up the podcast later tonight after the show is over. As mentioned, the Riders in Calgary tomorrow. We'll talk to Derek Taylor in the 6 o'clock hour and see what's going on with the football team as they get ready to go into Calgary. A lot of lineup changes again today. And when the depth chart came out, we saw that A.C. Leonard was on it. A.C. Leonard, of course, suffered a knee injury in practice this week. Craig Dickinson said that he was 50-50, he was questionable. He looked better today. They're going to take him to Calgary. They're going to hope that he can go. Craig Dickinson optimistic that he can go. But when we also looked at things today, we knew that Blaise Brown wasn't going to play. But Craig Dickinson had not really mentioned that he was going to go on the sixth game. We didn't know about Christian Campbell going on the sixth game. And Jeffrey Onyeka going on the sixth game Godfrey Onyeka going on the sixth game as well. And it was asked today of Craig Dickinson about these injuries as they were all put on the sixth game list. How serious are these? And the head coach says, guess what? They're done for the year.
Yeah, they're on there for a reason. Campbell's got a hamstring that's not going to get better anytime soon. Blaise has got a shoulder that may need surgery. Onyeka's got a back issue that may be season ending. So they're serious injuries.
Wow. When you see that happen, I know you care for the guys as players. How do you keep the team perspective in that too? What it means to the team?
Well, you know, everybody who's played football has been injured at some point. And everybody understands that your career is short, so make the most of it. But we don't think any of them are career ending. I don't sound like that. But they're injuries, and it does affect the dynamic of the locker room. But our guys have been very good. I've been pleased with the locker room. Guys are pulling for each other. And when a guy's hurt, they support him. You know, they support him and wish him well, and say, just like we do, we can't wait to get you back. Let's get you back as soon as we can.
So add three more to the six-game injured list, and I believe, as I said, I was talking to Jeremy O'Day before I came down to the Brandt Center here today, and J.O. and I were saying, I believe that's 17 guys now on the six-game list, and I've just got the list in front of me. Freddie Bishop, Blaise Brown, Christian Campbell, Larry Dean, Mike Edom, Jonathan Femi Cole, DeMarcus Gates, Nigel Harris, Gary Johnson Jr., Nelson Lacumbo, Garrett Marino, Godfrey Onyeka, Jordan Reeves, Taron Vaughn, Tim Williams, and Jordan Williams-Lambert all on the six-game list, and a lot of those guys won't be coming off the six-game list before the season is over. So that just makes the challenge a little bit more tougher for your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. All right, we will take a break. Hour one in the books. Hour two, we are scheduled to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazarick. Dante DiCaria, the play-by-play voice of the Pats, may be joining me. And we will have a conversation I had earlier today with the head coach of the U of R Rams, Mark McConkey. You are listening to The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Sitting in for Derek Taylor is Mitchell Blair.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan's number one sports show. Thanks for being a part of the show wherever you may be, however you may be listening. The program today brought to you by Nelson Homes. We are live at the Brandt Center today. Coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, the Regina Pats will be taking on the Saskatoon Blades in hour one of this program. We talked to Connor Bedard. We talked to Dave Struch, and we're going to talk a little more hockey in hour two. We're not going to forget about football because there's a couple of big football games this weekend. When I get out of here tonight, I'm going to start doing some prep because I'll be heading to Saskatoon tomorrow to watch the Huskies and the Rams, and that's going to be a battle. I talked with Mark McConkey earlier today. We'll play that for you. Of course, the Riders and the Stampeders tomorrow night, but a little bit more Pats talk, and it's a summit, a meeting of the minds. I'm joined by the play-by-play voice of the Regina Pats, the new play-by-play voice of the Regina Pats, who's doing a pretty damn good job, if you ask me, Dante DiCaria, and one of the best play-by-play men in the Western Hockey League, if not the Canadian Hockey League. Oh, no, I'm not talking about Regan Bartel. I'm talking about Les Lazarek, the man from the Saskatoon Blades. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm fine. Can I take this mask down a little bit here?
Cause you can do whatever you want.
Let's both do that a little bit. But
man,
I'm in big company right here. First time I'm meeting Les. So
yeah,
nice. I didn't realize that. Months ago,
I mean, I talked to him on the telephone here the other day, but I had not met Dante as of yet. So it's good.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to the Western Hockey League.
Thank you.
I mean, this is like coming back home, really, Mitchell, considering we were here for most of March and April.
Les, I know that, you know, when you were coming down for the bubble, we talked about we got to get together, and then it never happened.
It never happened.
They closed the restaurants down just after the bubble started. Oh. And you were here for, what, 6 weeks? I never saw you once, and you were right across the street from the radio station.
50 days I was here for the most of it, living in essentially a one-bedroom apartment, and it was a very lonely existence. The best part of it was the fact that I was able to see people at the rink and watch games and call games. Yep. That was the big part of the bubble. The ability to do that just kept me in tune and ready to continue
for
this next season.
I've been to a couple of games, and Dante, I'll get you in on this because I know you weren't around last year. But being here last year for a couple of games that didn't necessarily involve the Regina Pats, you were excited to see the Pats because – you wanted to see Connor Bedard, but there was a good Brandon team, a good Winnipeg team. You wanted to see the kid in Moose Jaw. But you looked around at these games, and they were tight games, and it was dead in the rink. And that was the one thing I noticed. I know there was a game I was watching with Daryl Rommel from CTV, and we said that was the one thing that was really missing. And then I wasn't here for the home opener because I was over at the Rams game. But I saw the game on CBC, and it was like, oh, God, there's fans back in the building.
It was great,
And then the games I've been at, when Darren Szabo, who, happy birthday, by the way, Darren.
Yes.
I hope you have something on the board for him tonight.
I'm sure they do. They wouldn't forget.
When he, you know, said, here's your Regina Pats, and the crowd came up, there was just a chill that went through me because it's like, thank God the fans are back.
Well,
and I've missed that. And as I said, I know that you weren't here last year, and I know you're just sort of getting used to it, Dante, what Regina hockey fans are like. And I'll tell you, when it gets to playoff time, it'll be crazy in here if you think it is now. But for you, What's it been like your first month with this hockey team on the ice?
Well, going back to the first game of the season, it was, you know, it was a whirlwind that day, right? Like, my mom flew in from Ottawa. She felt like she wanted to be there for that day because that day was definitely special for me. You know, being, you know, 23 and broadcasting in the Western Hockey League is, you know, is definitely, you know, a huge accomplishment for myself, something that I've always wanted to do over the last, you know, ever since I got into broadcasting at 16. But it's always been a dream of mine. And being here and being part of this community and being part of the fan base and knowing that every time I jump on the air, it's important. That excites me the most because, you know, when you start off, you know, I started off doing Junior A and Junior B on, you know, a self-designed online stream. You know, we were on a campus radio station, which didn't have a very large signal, barely went across the whole length of Ottawa.
You were doing Islander games? Never mind.
No. But no, yeah, like, and then, and to look at the listeners every night and to see 50, 75, 100. And I used to get sad. My mom used to tell me, one day, right? And sure enough, I'm here. And every time it just excites me to know every time I'm on the air, it's important. The fans care so much about this team and that I have a very important job to do. And I take that job very seriously. Every time I go on the air, I mean, I don't call it as if it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, but the way that I approach the game in terms of my preparation, you know, my mentality, even my prep work with my play-by-play sheet, but also just, you know, how I have the mentality going into that game, I feel as if I'm in the NHL. Like, that's the way I approach it, right?
Les, he said he's 23 years old. God, I can't remember when I was 23.
I have pairs of underwear that are older than him, for heaven's sake.
Thanks, Al Bundy.
Well, 24 tomorrow. So,
okay. Oh, well, happy birthday to you, too,
yeah,
then. All right.
Good stuff.
All right. The Saskatoon Blades, tell me about this hockey team. They're 4-1-1. Tristan Robbins, we know about him. Yeah. Nolan Meyer, we know about him.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see the trade of Colton Dock, but I know you and I talked about that, but yeah. This Blades team is a team that, are they in that Winnipeg stratosphere with their record or not?
Well, I haven't seen Winnipeg yet. I've seen Brandon. I think the Blades compete fairly decently with Brandon. Does anybody compete well with Winnipeg? I mean, I know Dave Struce was happy with the way his team played in the last game, in which the ice still won 6-3, but he was very pleased with the way his team played that night. I think the Blades might be a team that might be the best in this province, possibly.
And
they could maybe move up even a little bit more if they were to get one more piece. They've got two imports already, but there's a lot of talk out of Finland that Brad Lambert, who is the top five possible pick in the NHL draft, not very happy, although he did get a goal for his Finnish La Liga team back on Wednesday and put the most time on ice that he's had so far this year, but he's been hurt and he only has 2 points and it's his draft year, and people say, well, geez, maybe he's going to come over to North America and play in Saskatoon. That would be nice. That would certainly improve this team. But this is a good team. This has got goaltending, the defense, pretty much everybody is back from being here in the hub, and the forwards up front, getting back Tristan Robbins really helps. And so I think that makes them definitely a team that can give you problems on any given night.
And Brad Lambert, when you think about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, has a little bit of Saskatoon lineage.
Has a lot
dad.
Of Saskatoon exactly. in him because his dad, Ross, played one season with the Blades and his uncle, Lane, played 2 seasons with
oh,
the Blades.
Oh, Lane's his uncle?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Lane was his dad.
No,
okay, I'm sorry.
Ross is the dad. Lane is the uncle. And they played with the Blades back in the early 80s.
All right. Dante, the Pats are 2-5, and I know we talked about it with Dave, and I know we talked about it with Connor. This is a team I feel that once they get on a roll, they're going to be a very tough hockey team to beat.
Well, I was driving here to the rink, and I said to myself, I think tonight's the night that Connor Bedard snaps this night. He has not scored in 5 games. He has not picked up a point over his last 2, but he's been a little bit snake-bitten as of late. And yeah, you read on Twitter, the fans are going, well, what's going on with Connor? He's still a good hockey player, and he's still playing good hockey. I think when the team starts to pick things up, Connor will start to find the back of the net. He's hit a lot of posts. He's hit a lot of crossbars, and piggybacking off Les's kind of comment there of how Dave Struce has liked their play outside of that loss on that Wednesday, October the 6th in Winnipeg, the Pats have played some really good hockey. They've outplayed Brandon. They played really good against Winnipeg up until the third period of play, so I'm not too worried as of late.
You talked about Connor Bedard, and I've talked to him once down here. I've talked to him a couple times on Zoom since he's been a member of the Pats. This was sort of the first chance I had to talk to him one-on-one this afternoon.
Right.
And when you have the expectations that people have on a 16-year-old kid, it would be easy for someone to sort of have that aura around him. hey, I'm good. I didn't get that at all from Connor Bedard. He just seems like a normal 16-year-old kid that comes to the rink. I wanted to ask him how many times he's gone to that McDonald's just down the rink here, or just down the way.
If it was Chipotle, did they put that in?
Yeah,
here,
just a while ago.
Last year, I heard.
No, just a couple of months ago.
Just a couple months.
Just a couple
okay,
months ago. Huge. And I got to say that now, when I come down to
feels
practice,
feels like last year for me.
When I come to practice now, whether it's Riders or Pats, guess where I end up? Yeah, and I'm trying to lose weight. And now they do that to me. Yes. Thanks, Tim Reed. I was going to ask him how many times he's been to Chipotle. If that was a Chipotle instead of a McDonald's, how many times he's
I'm
been?
I'm pretty
here,
sure he's a bigger fan of Chipotle.
Yeah,
than
I know he
of
is.
McDonald's.
What's he like to deal with? Because you see him every day. I'm guessing what I saw today is what you see from him every day.
100%. That's exactly who Connor Bedard is. He is a fantastic person. And going back to your first point in the first part of this question, I've been around those athletes where I've been, yeah, I'm good. You know, they're arrogant, they're cocky. For example, you know, when I interned with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Gee, really shocking.
Hold on. When I interned with the Jays, a lot of guys in that clubhouse had that persona. Josh Donaldson, Marcus Stroman, Jose Bautista. The way they walked around the clubhouse, yes, it's a much different level than it is here in the Western Hockey. You're laughing.
I'm just going to tell. I do not like the Toronto Blue Jays. I have not liked the Toronto Blue Jays for a long, long time.
Chicago Cubs.
Harry Carey. Yes. 5 years ago today, by the way, they won the National League pennant.
I remember there.
Rougned Odor, one of my favorite players, from what he did to Jose Bautista. But when you said Bautista, Stroman, and Donaldson as sort of being jerks, it's like, oh, shocking.
Well, hold on. I'm not saying
no, I know
jerks.
What you're saying. But just sort
I'm
of,
just saying that that's,
they were full of themselves.
That's the persona
aura,
that
yeah,
they
no,
carry.
With
but guys that were not, Jay Happ, Marco Estrada, Russell Martin, Jason Grilley, those guys were not like that. But again, not to get off topic or anything, but I've been around those type of people. Even when I did minor league baseball, there was a few guys that, you know, I didn't necessarily mesh with because they had that type of attitude. But I don't get that from Connor Bedard. He is, by the way, his parents, they raised a very, very good young boy. He is a phenomenal person. He treats everybody with respect. He listens to his coaches. He's a good teammate. Very good hockey player, as all of us here at this table know. But he's just a fantastic human being. And that was really everything that I heard coming into this job, that he was going to be easy to work with. When it comes to interviews, as you just saw at the top of the hour, he was fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. He came up here. He answered all your questions.
A little bit quieter than I thought he'd be.
He is a little quiet, but, you know, I'm around him every day, you know, and he's not the only person I talk to. The locker room, by the way, is fantastic, and he fits in perfectly. You know, the one thing that Dave Struce and John Paddock have done a really good job with, and I'm very lucky over my 6-7 years broadcasting hockey and baseball, that I've had the opportunity to not really be around one bad clubhouse. And they've done a fantastic, no, I shouldn't say clubhouse, locker room, sorry. Right. But I've, this is just like what I've been used to. Fantastic people in that room. It comes down from the coaches, management, all the way down to the players.
Les, there's some new blood in Saskatoon. Obviously, Mitch Love no longer around. Mm-hmm. Brennan Sohn is the head coach of this team. Have they changed their identity any?
Not really. I mean, Brennan Sohn is like Mitch Love in the fact that they came from being at the knee of Kevin Constantine in Everett. Now, they're not going to necessarily play trap hockey. They're not going to bring back images of the New Jersey Devils under Jacques Lemaire back in the 90s. They are responsible defensively. Brennan has brought on his own things, though. He has some differences from Mitch Love, and it's shown up in the first six games. And as a result, you're seeing the team score some goals, score some power play goals. I mean, they're number four in the league in power play. I know it's early, and it's only and it's 31%, but still, Blades haven't been 31% on the power play probably in most of the time that I've been following this team at any point in time in the course of a season. So that's good. I mean, I like the idea that they've got some capable people up front, led again by Tristan Robbins, who's got 13 points in 5 games. He's a multi-point per game player. But the young guys and the imports that they've got, Yegor Sidorov is a good-looking player out of Belarus. Moritz Eliash finally got his first goal the other night in Moose Jaw. So it's a team that is slowly but surely finding its way and is able to win some games while they're doing so.
I'm just looking for the I know you had this out today. I don't know if it was on the game notes or if it was on something else on your website. the Pats and the Blades all time, 206
yeah.
and 206 with a couple of, oh, there it is right there in front of me. Duh. 206, 27 and 12 versus the Blades. The Regina-Saskatoon rivalry when it comes to the Western Hockey League, you can't get much closer than that.
And the Blades have won six of the last nine meetings yes. between these two teams over the last couple of seasons. So,
and I think, Les, when guys like Brooks and Wagner and Steele were here, when the Blades were down at the bottom, they'd won, like, what, 12 or 13 straight against
Something
Saskatoon
like that. It was some ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it should have been. That was a very good Pats team. It's kind of changed around a little bit. I mean, last year in the Hub, the Blades won 3 out of 4. The season before, they won 3 out of the 5, and the two losses were in extra time, both yep. of them. So, you know, it's gone back and forth, just like the waves coming in, crashing onto the beach.
Don't talk about waves right now. You know what I mean. I'm tired of hearing
Well,
about
it's
waves.
Kind of what junior hockey is.
I hear that. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry.
I know what you mean.
I hear that.
Well, it's going off his point. It's kind of what junior hockey is, right?
Like, yeah. It's cyclical.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, I think here in the WHL, the windows are a little bit shorter than compared to what I was used to growing up in Ontario, following the Ontario Hockey League a little bit more because of the drafts. Like here you draft in Bantam, in Ontario you draft in Midget. So,
don't get me started on that one. Because I wish the Western Hockey League would do that as well.
Hey, listen,
there's
I'm on the same page
said.
As you.
I'm going to get up on my soap.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I was about to go for
but
a break.
There is something to be said, and I know that there are people from the league who are actually listening to this right now. There is something to be said about being able to draft a kid at age 15 and have him go directly into the team the next year rather than having him sit around at his 15-year-old year somewhere back at home and people losing track of what this kid is and who he is and what he's all about.
Mm-hmm. Which is why people didn't with Connor Bedard and some of the other 15-year-olds like a Zach Benson or, you know, Braden Jaeger, who were able to play as 15-year-olds last year.
It was fabulous.
It
was the sort of a thing that they should have learned their lesson from. They didn't, unfortunately, is move the age up for the prospects draft. Instead of drafting 14-year-olds, draft 15-year-olds so that they're 16 and are eligible to play right away, and that way you're engaging your fan base and your potential fan base right away.
Les is fired up. I love it. All right, I know that you guys have some stuff to do before you get
yes.
to your own respective broadcast tonight. Dante, you'll be with us on 620 CKRM pregame show at 6:35. Les, you're not on WW
yes,
now.
Yes, we
you're
are.
On, oh, you're on WW.
We're back on WW.
You're back on WW.
We're back
right.
on WW. We had not been on AM radio
right
since 1999.
Right.
And we've been on FM radio for the 22 seasons since then, but we are back on AM radio, and it's a lot of fun to be back on Country 600.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun talking with you two
yes.
guys. Dante, you and I will do it again
yes.
several times. Anytime you're around, Les, and we're here, you know I want to talk to you. If you ever need somebody upstairs, not tonight, though.
Not tonight, yeah.
Let me know. All right, we'll take a break. Guys, have a great call tonight.
Thank you.
And, I guess a great call Sunday, too, because you guys are back at Sastel Center on Sunday night once
you know
Eric Church has taken
before
off.
Before we go, I got Connor Hobbs doing color with me on Sunday, which is going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, a Regina player had a pretty big night in the NHL last night. We'll hear what he had to say after that accomplishment, and there's a pretty big football game in Saskatoon tomorrow between the Rams and the Huskies. When we come back, we will talk to the Rams head coach, Mark McConkey. You are listening to the Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Holmes today on 620 CKRM.
Mitchell Blair in for Derek Taylor today. I'm Sean Klasinger with your afternoon rush. Week 12 in the CFL. Friday Night Football, a huge game for first place in the East. It's the Argonauts at Alouettes. Kickoff at 5:30 Saskatchewan time. And the Bombers will have to try and clinch top spot in the West Division standing Saturday without running back Andrew Harris. Bombers have placed Harris on the 6-game injured list Friday with a knee. BC is in Winnipeg tomorrow at 5. And the Dodgers kept their season alive last night with that huge 11-2 win in Game 5. The Braves now lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 going Saturday in Atlanta. The Astros can punch their ticket to the World Series Friday night at home versus Boston as the Red Sox will try to force a Game 7. First pitch for that one tonight at 6:08. Back to the Brandt Center. Mitch, how you doing out there?
I'm doing good, Zinger. You know, we're just outside
yep.
the actual bowl of the rink. We're right by the Bennett Dunlop Ford Kids Zone. There were a lot of things in sports that I love. And Zinger, I know you do in the Red Sox games. You just love being at the park early and seeing everything get ready for the game. For me, one of the things I really love about doing shows from here, and usually we're just inside by where the subway location is, but one of the things I really love about being here at the Brandt Center, and it's any rink really, just being here about two and a half hours before the game, and just that crescendo, that, or you know, when they put the pucks out for the pregame warm up, those first sounds of blades hitting ice. Mm-hmm. I just love that.
It's all part of the experience, man. That's what makes sporting events so great. Yeah. The scents, the smells. Yep.
Yeah, and like you get in here an hour before game time, which is fine because you see a lot of that, but just that everything just sort of working behind the scenes for the start of the game, and of course we'll have that for you tonight at 7 o'clock. Now tomorrow, I'll be hitting the highway to Saskatoon, heading to Griffith Stadium. The Regina Rams will take on the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Rams last week had a tough loss against UBC. Looked like they were going to improve to 2-1 on the season, and then a fourth quarter meltdown hurt the Rams. The Huskies are 2-1. I'll tell you what, if I'm not convinced that the Manitoba Bisons are as good as their 3-0 record, and I think they're going to fall. And if the Rams could somehow win tomorrow, there would be a huge logjam in Canada West. And earlier today, I had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the U of R Rams, Mark McConkey. Welcome back to the program, everyone. Of course, a big football game tomorrow in Calgary, the Riders and the Stampeders. We'll hear from Derek Taylor later on. He is in Calgary. But tomorrow afternoon, there's also a pretty big football game going on, a Canada West football game between the University of Regina Rams and the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. And joining me on the Western Pizza Hotline, the head coach of the University of Regina Rams, Mark McConkey. Mark, first question for you. Should your team be 3-0, 2-1, or what it currently is, 1-2 after three games?
Yeah, no, could easily be 3-0, but could also be 0-3. Every game, it's been tight. Lost by 4, lost by 1, won by 13. It's Canada West football, and that's what our guys are learning, and we're learning as a staff. It's, you got to play four quarters of football. You can't just play one. Again, that last one got away on us. We just didn't do what we had to do in the fourth quarter. But again, another great opportunity in front of us this weekend, and still have three more games, half the season in front of us still.
The excitement of beating the University of Calgary was tempered somewhat by losing at home to UBC last week, but that's sort of something, you know, I know we talked about it before that UBC game. You can't get too high after doing what you did against Calgary. You certainly can't be hanging your heads after blowing that lead to UBC and losing to them. It is a new week, and you just got to play the game.
Exactly. Yeah, one game at a time, one play at a time. That's been our mantra for the year. And again, maybe we were a little too high after the Calgary win. Again, I think bye week kind of helped us calm down a little bit, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we just let that one slip away. When you're up 23-0, you just got to be able to execute and finish. And we didn't do that on offense. And then late in the game, we didn't do that on defense. So, but we learned from it. We're ready for U of S and excited for tomorrow.
Is that the message to the guys? Is that, look, guys, it doesn't matter, because I know you were up big in Manitoba. You couldn't hang on. You know, Calgary was coming back on you, and you had the big pick at the end of the game to preserve that win. Up by 23 against UBC. Is the message sort of, guys, we can't take our foot off the pedal. We just have to keep going because we can't afford in this conference to take a quarter off?
Absolutely. Yeah, it comes down to, that's exactly right, keep your foot on the pedal. And at the end of the day, just execute. I know we didn't do a good job offensively executing, even in the first half when we were up 23-0. I was still not happy with how we were moving the ball and getting a couple two and outs. So at the end of the day, we just got to execute, play in, play out, whether it's the first quarter and it's 0-0 or we're up 30-0 in the fourth quarter. We still got to execute the plays that we have, and everyone's got to do their job. So that's the big message this week, is all about execution.
Talk about the Huskies. Certainly they are a formidable opponent, especially offensively. Mason Nias is slinging the rock around. You know what he can do. He's got some talented receivers, maybe the best player in the conference in Mackert. Your defense certainly has a challenge in front of you, but I think you match up pretty well against those guys. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we do. Again, they're a strong team, strong program, but I think we're right there with them. I think we'll battle with them. Our defense is going to battle with their high-powered offense, and Again, I think our offense matches up well with their defense. Just got to kind of take what they're giving us, keep our defense off the field, keep their offense off the field, and move the ball and kind of keep getting first downs and chunk away at their defense offensively. So, yeah, just looking forward to it. I know it's always a big rivalry game, big battle with Saskatchewan, so our guys are pretty fired up for it, and I know I am as well.
Mark McConkey, head coach of the University of Regina Rams, with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Mark, talk about that. I know we've talked about the first here, the first there for you as head coach. You've been on the sidelines as a coach. You've been on the field as a player for games against the Huskies. Your first one as head coach. How exciting is this one?
Yeah, it's just like any other game when you go up there, even as an OC. You always kind of get a little bit more nervous because it means a lot, and it kind of helps in the recruiting battles and everything. And that's what I was telling our guys last night, how big of a game this is for not only for our season this year, but for the program moving forward and for everyone here. So, yeah, I know we're excited. It's a big one. And again, to me, though, it's just another game versus the Huskies. And those are always ones that kind of you get up for. They're exciting to play those guys.
Games between these two teams are always big. Is it a little bit bigger this year because it's the only time you're playing these guys in the regular season? And we see what the conference is like. Nobody knows who's going to finish where yet, even though Manitoba's started off well. Is that sort of the big thing as well, is that you want to make sure that you've got as many tiebreakers as you can when you're playing these teams only once?
Yeah, no, the conference is very tight. And again, we unfortunately lost the tiebreaker versus UBC, so that might come back to haunt us later in the year. But we got the one versus Calgary. If we can get the tiebreaker versus Sask, that'd be huge for playoff implications. I know it's going to be pretty complex to see who gets in and out, because I think a lot of the teams are going to have similar records when it's all said and done after six games. So, again, points for and against is huge, too. Whether we win or whatever, we still got to win by lot. It'll be interesting to see how it kind of all unfolds in these last 3 weeks here. But, again, one game at a time, and we're just looking forward to playing the Huskies.
What's the best thing about Huskies-Rams?
Just the rivalry. Again, we don't like each other. I know some of our guys are buddies with their guys on staff, and again, I get along with Scott. But when it's game time and in season, there's no words spoken. It's the Rams Huskies big rivalry, and everyone gets pretty fired up for those games. So I know our guys are really jacked up and really excited to play.
I love that answer. You don't know how much I love that answer, because I think Chop and I are foiling up the knuckles as we get ready to make the drive tomorrow. I know that you guys are a little battered up, but your O-line is not what you'd like it to be. I know Josh took some big hits, and I know that maybe Sawyer Bittner might have to play. Does that concern you, the fact that we're getting to this point of the season, that your injury list is a little bit longer than you'd like it to be?
Yeah, it's always a concern. You always want your starting guys, so the guys that you project to be your best players playing. But really, it's just another opportunity for another guy to step up, whether it's a younger O-lineman, receiver, DB, whatever, for injuries. And we've had injuries across the board. Our O-line's been banged up, and losing a couple starters early in the season definitely hurt us. But again, Sheldon Neal and Roe Borgman doing a great job with those guys, and we just got to keep developing them, keep moving forward, put in a good game plan to put those guys in a spot to be successful. And that ultimately falls on me. So I think we did a good job with that this week, so we'll see how it lays out tomorrow.
Defensively, I thought for three quarters against UBC, you guys have played your best game defensively, and it wasn't just one guy standing out. And I think the first couple of games, you know, you saw a lot of Josh White, you saw a lot of Ryder Varga, Jackson Ford was making plays, but I thought everyone was making plays for the first three quarters of that UBC game. And that's got to be nice to know that everybody's chipping in and you're not just depending on one or two guys to make the plays for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a team effort, and we kind of have the same mantra on offense as well. And the whole team, special teams, everything. Everyone's got to chip in. Everyone's got to do their job, do their part, and we'll be okay. And last game, we weren't able to keep our defense off the field. We had a lot of two and outs at unfortunate times, and our defense just got tired in the fourth. And that's on us as an offense. We can't just put that on the defense. So it takes all of us, and we all got to execute and all got to do our job. And again, we'll be fine from there. But yeah, our defense has been playing outstanding, and I'm looking forward to see how they match up against the Huskies offense.
Mark, I know you talked about it. You're going on the practice field here, I believe, within a little bit. Just what's the message to the guys as they go home tonight? Get some sleep for what's going to be a big game, and then getting on the bus tomorrow.
Yeah, it's, again, big game, one play at a time. They're going to get some big plays. We're going to get some big plays. We just got to battle the storm when they do, regroup, and just go on to the next play. We can't get caught into a downward spiral like we did last in the fourth quarter against UBC. So we just got to be able to reset ourselves a little bit better and focus on our keyword, execute. So whether it's kicking, punting, defense, offense, we just got to execute. And if we do that, we'll be fine and we'll come home successful.
Mark, wishing you the best of luck. We'll obviously see you up in Saskatoon tomorrow. I cannot wait for this one. Rams, Huskies, always a good time. As I put on Twitter earlier this week, for those in Regina, I know a lot of people are going up to Eric Church for the concert tomorrow night. Stop off at Griffith Stadium. Cheer on the Rams, because a Rams-Huskies game, man, you love that. You can go for supper, then go to the concert, come back, talking about a Rams win and a great concert. Mark, I know you're not going to the concert, but still, I know you'd have a great Regina contingent. You always would, but the more Regina fans you have up there, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah, they got a great atmosphere up there, and the more Rams fans we can get up there, it's every time we play them, whether it's here or there, we always get a good turnout. So just excited for our guys to play in front of those guys and kind of show what we can do and show we can rebound after a tough loss last week.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Coach. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you.
Mark McConkey with us on the Western Pizza Hotline, and I thank him for the time earlier today. Zinger, while that interview was running, we talked about it earlier in the show. It is the birthday today of the longtime PA announcer of the Regina Pats, Darren Szabo, and he walked by. Zinger, I know you do the Red Sox. I do Cougar basketball. But he's the godfather when it comes to Regina public announcing, when it comes to sports.
Happy birthday, big Darren Szabo. That's awesome, man. Yeah, yeah. It's a big happy birthday to him. He is the voice of the Pats in a different way. He's the voice of the Brandt Center. And whenever you go to the Brandt Center and you hear that voice, you're like, okay, I'm at a Pats game. It's nice and homey. Yep. Happy birthday, Darren.
Yeah, happy birthday to Darren Szabo indeed. In fact, he went walking by in a Plains Hotel hoodie. And if you know Regina, that's a vintage hoodie. And I give
it's a bunny hug.
Bunny hug, hoodie, Vico chocolate milk, whatever. Whatever. All right, Pats, Blades, down here tonight, 7 o'clock. A chance to see Connor Bedard in action if you haven't done so already this year. Number 98 only has 5 points in 7 games this year, but he's ready to break out. He's had a lot of chances. I know a game that I was here for a couple of weeks ago against the Brandon Wheat Kings. He had several great opportunities to score, rang one off the crossbar. The Brandon goaltender made a couple of great saves. He's ready to break out. Tonight might be the night that he does that. Dante DiCaria will have the game for us here, pregame show right after we're off the air at 6:35, and then the play-by-play at 7 o'clock. We are live at the Brandt Center doing the sports cage today for Nelson Holmes on 620 CKRM.
All right, it's 5:51 with the sports ticker. There's 4 games in the NHL tonight, and 2 are underway. The San Jose Sharks up 3-2 on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's after 2 periods of play. And the Boston Bruins up 2-0 on the Buffalo Sabres. So it looks like the 3-game dynasty of the Buffalo Sabres is over. Looks like they might lose a hockey game. Go figure. Ben Simmons has reportedly told 76ers medical professionals and head coach Doc Rivers that he is not mentally ready to play to his expectations, adding another layer to uncertainty to when and where he will make his regular season debut. The 76ers are in tough tonight versus the Nets. We are live from the Brandt Center today as the Regina Pats hit the ice tonight to try to snap their 5-game losing skid. The Saskatoon Blades are in town. It's the first of a home-and-home as the Pats head up to Saskatoon on Sunday. Pre-game show tonight at 6:35 with puck drop at 7. Right here on 620 CKRM, the sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right, 781-2090.
Zinger, we talked about the first NHL goal for Cole Sillinger in the last break. Well, guess what? Just got a tweet tonight in Syracuse, at least I believe that game. No, it's in Rochester. The Syracuse Crunch taking on the Rochester Americans and scoring for Syracuse. His first goal in the American Hockey League, another pride of Regina, Jaden Durow. So good for Jaden Durow, and I'm sure there's a happy bunch of Durows in Regina having seen that. So Cole Sillinger, Jaden Durow, a lot of Regina products starting to make some names for themselves in the AHL and the NHL. And, of course, we've got several Pats looking to go to the next level. And, things are looking good hockey-wise in this neck of the woods. Football-wise, things not the greatest right now. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, as you know, trying to break a losing skid against the Calgary Stampeders tomorrow afternoon at McMahon Stadium, or tomorrow night at McMahon Stadium. Kickoff 7:45, our pregame show 4:30 right here on 620 CKRM with Michael Ball and the gang. Blaise Brown, Christian Campbell, Godfrey Onyeka all placed on the six-game injury list today. Craig Dickinson said they're all done for the year, and I asked Craig today, man, how frustrating has this got to be knowing you just can't get that continuity in the lineup that you want?
It's frustrating. It really is. But, you know, you can be frustrated about it for a few minutes, and then you got to get to work. So, you know, we had our moments on day one. We were not very happy as a staff, but, you know, we've gotten over it. And the other thing is this, Mitch, you find stars this way. You don't know who they are until they play. And so maybe one of these guys stepping in for the first time all of a sudden shows us something that maybe we didn't see in practice. So we try to look at it as glass half full. We hate to lose players, especially good starting players on your team, offense, defense, or special teams. But it also gives other players an opportunity to rise up and to show that they're capable of replacing these guys. So we'll see how it goes on Saturday. We're going to line up and we're going to play as hard as we possibly can because it's a big game. And our guys know that, whether it's their first game or their 10th game of the year.
And you know that when Bo Levi Mitchell looks at this lineup and he's going to see a couple of new guys in there, he's going to want to go at them right off the bat. And the last thing you want to have is that team to get off to the start it's had the past two games. So does that just make the challenge that much stiffer for you?
Yeah, we got to start fast. That's a goal this week especially, is we've got to start fast on both sides of the football and in the kicking game as well. And we've got to make Bo earn everything he gets. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his completions. But we got to make him tough, and we got to make him earn them. And we've got to be physical. That's the one thing our team knows. We've got to be physical in this game. We've got to make it hard for Bo and that offense to get into a rhythm.
Craig, I think I know the answer to this, but is this a playoff game mentality that you take into Calgary tomorrow?
Yeah, if we want to host, we got to win this game. Our guys know that. So we got to play our best game. We got to lay it out all out there and let the chips fall where they may. But we're going to come out. We're going to come out swinging one way or the other. We're going to play our darndest.
Zinger, what do you think going into tomorrow?
You know, I want to have good vibes, Mitch. But, you know, after losing to them twice in a row, it's kind of like, well, you know, we can't lose to them three times now, can we? But I think the Riders do win this game tomorrow. I really do. I think it's going to be a close one. But the most interesting part for me looking at tomorrow's game is just to see how Shaq Evans and Duke Williams, how we're going to be utilizing those guys. Because no more excuses when it comes to deep ball. I mean, we got Duke Williams, the best deep ball target from back in 2017-2018. I know this is 2021 now. This is not 2018 anymore, but come on. The guy was putting up numbers with the Buffalo Bills. He was big time with the Edmonton Elks back in the day. So let's get this guy going tomorrow. Five catches for, what, 90 yards? Maybe sneaking a touchdown, Mitch? What do you think?
You know what? You brought that up again today just with that, and a lot of people have expectations. When we come back in hour three, before we go to Derek Taylor in Calgary, I asked Craig Dickinson today about the expectations for Shaq Evans and Duke Williams. We'll hear what he had to say on the other side. News is next, and when we come back, hour three of The Cage from the Brandt Center. The gates will open up here right away. Pats and Blades at 7 o'clock. If you can't come down to the Brandt Center, you can listen to it right here on 620 CKRM. You're listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Holmes on 620 CKRM. Good evening, Saskatchewan. Thanks for being a part of Saskatchewan's number one sports show. However you may be listening, wherever you may be listening, thank you for doing so. Mitchell Blair with you. Derek Taylor will be with me in just a moment. He is in Calgary, where tomorrow the Riders will take on the Calgary Stampeders. Big football day on 620 CKRM tomorrow. We'll have the Rider game starting with the pregame show at 4:30, play-by-play 7:45. Before that, I will be in Saskatoon along with the big man, Gary Chopp-Bresch. I'll have the Rams and Huskies for you starting at 2 o'clock. Really, really looking forward to the first Rams-Huskies game that we've seen in quite a while. All right, the big news out of Riderville today, the fact that Blaise Brown, Christian Campbell, Godfrey Onyeka all placed on the six-game injured list. They are done for the year. A.C. Leonard, he's going to give it a shot tomorrow. He feels a lot better. And Shaq Evans and Duke Williams both on the roster, Ricardo Lewis out. There's been a lot of talk about what Shaq Evans and Duke Williams can do tomorrow. As for the expectations, earlier today I asked Craig Dickinson, hey, what's your expectations for these guys?
I mean, we're happy to have them both. They've both had good weeks of practice, but we have to be a little bit smart about, you know, our expectations. Shaq's coming off a foot injury. He's well, you know, he wouldn't be playing if he wasn't, but you know, he hasn't played in 2 months, and Duke, it's been a while for him as well. So we're going to temper our expectations of them, but we expect them to play well when they're out there and to do a good job. And I think they will.
I know you're probably sick of hearing about this, and I know it got brought up after the last game. When are you going to beat your brother?
Boy, I am sick of hearing about that. So I hope it's this week. I hope it's this week.
Craig, I think a lot of people are hoping it's this week, and I know my next guest on the Western Pizza Hotline is certainly hoping it's this week, and that is the voice of the Riders and the normal host of this show, Derek Taylor. How are you, DT?
I'm good. I told Craig Dickinson weeks ago I would never ask him about playing against his brother, because he's having three games against his brother, right? I made it through, Mitchell. I made it through all 3 weeks without asking him about playing his brother. I'm very proud of myself right now.
You have a playoff game yet. You'll have to do that yet, I'm guessing.
That's true. We could be back here for a third time. And a fourth time overall this season. My goodness.
The Calgary Stampeders since 2014 have played the Saskatchewan Roughriders 16 times and are 13-3. Why are the Calgary Stampeders such an Achilles heel for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? What do they do that makes it so tough in the matchup game?
Honestly, I wish I could give you a real good reason. People talk about Calgary like they're magical, right? Like, Huffnagel and Owen and Dave Dickinson, they just had that thing. They just had that. It's a belief right down from the very top. In the beginning of that stretch that you mentioned, Calgary just had the most talented players in the league. Like, they were just fantastic. And, oh, by the way, they have Bo Levi Mitchell, who, apart from this season, is a tremendous quarterback. They honestly just kept coming with this relentless stream of talented and uber-talented players. Oh, we let an all-star offensive lineman get away? Oh, here's Derek Dennis. Oh, we let all-star receivers get away? Okay, here's guys like Eric Rogers. And then here's guys like Kamar Jordan. Just a nonstop identifying of great talent and having it stick around for a long time. This year, I start to believe the magic, because when I look at this roster, I go, this is not overwhelmingly talented, but man, these last, you know, 3 weeks, are they ever playing well? And they're now back to .500.
The news of today, not good, especially on the defensive side of the ball, although we did hear that A.C. Leonard is going to give it a shot because his knee injury has improved to the point that Craig Dickinson feels they can put him on the roster. Blaise Brown out with a shoulder. Onyeka out with, I believe Craig said it was the back, and Christian Campbell out with a hamstring. I talked to Jeremy O'Day today before I came down to the Brandt Center. I ran into him at the Subway in the Eventplex. And we were just sort of shooting the breeze for a couple of minutes. This is, what, 17 guys on the six-game list now? You take that, you take the fact that the Riders have the toughest schedule of any team coming home. Man, they've just got a lot of obstacles in their way. And a win over Calgary would just, I think, really change the complexion of everything going into the last month.
Oh, absolutely. Because, a loss means there's next to no chance that you host the West semifinal. A win, actually, you're sitting pretty good, because down the road is Montreal, and Montreal is doing absolutely nothing right now early in their game, and they might have to incorporate a new quarterback next week. And then it's the just absolutely can't believe how terrible they are, Edmonton Elks for a home and home, and then a Hamilton team that's vulnerable. So everything awaits, and that's why I say, without joking, this is the biggest game they're going to play before the playoffs. Like, of the entire season, this is the biggest game that they will play because of the ramifications. Would you rather play Calgary in Saskatchewan, or would you rather play them back here at McMahon Stadium? And that, to me, is not even close. It's not even close. I would like Calgary to be as uncomfortable as possible and to have some sort of doubt, because right now, I was talking to a couple of the Calgary guys, man, they are feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
A victory by the Riders would leave them two games up in the loss column. and a schedule strength that sees them play teams that are 14-22. That's a win percentage of 3.89 over weeks 13-16, Montreal, a pair against Edmonton and Hamilton. So that just sort of increases the importance of this game for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Offensively, the Riders have struggled. Shaq Evans and Duke Williams come back. That should help this team out, although, you know, Shaq hasn't played for 6 weeks. He's coming off the foot injury. It's been a while since Duke Williams played, so how long is it going to take them to shake off the rust? Cody Fajardo and DT, he's taken some heat this year, and I don't know if all of it has been warranted. Certainly some of it has, and I know you and I talked about his performance yesterday on the show and how, you know, is he the MOP candidate? And I was thinking about it last night, and I don't know how you really couldn't give it to Cody Fajardo, even though he hasn't had the 2019 numbers. But is this now the chance for Cody Fajardo to show us what he's all about, be that team leader, not just tomorrow, but in the final five games of the regular season, now that he has an offense that is arguably better than what it was when the season opened so many weeks ago?
Oh, I'd agree. It is better. Just adding in Duke Williams alone does that. And it gives them the ace up their sleeve of twice tomorrow, Cody can just go, you know what, 4-by-1, and we're throwing it deep to Duke, and he's going to do his thing on whatever 5'11" defensive back is out there. That is possible now. Oh, we're going to go 4-by-1, and Shaq can go do his thing. It's not the same jump ball thing, but Shaq certainly has that in his game as well. I mean, Fajardo's 8 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, right? Like, he wasn't a touchdown machine last year, but he was able to keep from turning the ball over. He has been throwing the ball away, been fooled by defenses. You start to wonder, well, is he just reading incorrectly, or has Calgary just got something that Cody has not seen before? This is the opportunity now. There's still the problems with the offensive line. There's still the problems with protection. But now you're going to put out 5 receivers that make teams go, okay. Oh, by the way, Keith Schaefer-Baker, who's had a real star turn, it might be their 5th receiver now. You go, wow, that is impressive. And the things you can do with Shaq and Duke can negate some of those problems that you've had in protection. It's all up for Cody right now.
We talked about the expectations for Shaq and for Duke, and we heard what Craig Dickinson had to say about them and what he's hoping to see from them tomorrow. Kyran Moore goes from being the number one option for Cody Fajardo to being number 3, and I would almost argue number 4 behind Kane Schaefer-Baker. Is this now where maybe Kyran Moore is the game changer and not Shaq Evans or Duke Williams, because Kyran Moore can sort of be more of the Kyran Moore we saw in 2019?
Well, I think he could probably prosper with fewer targets. But if they were looking for him to bail them out, right? Here's 10 catches, here's 9 catches, here's 15 targets, here's a bunch behind the line of scrimmage. But now those plays can have a bigger impact, right? Calgary's defensive backs, they love to get upfield and attack and make these tackles. But if they have to be worried about 2 guys going over their heads, well, now it increases the impact, and fewer guys can potentially rally to the ball for Kyran Moore. So this is going to be, in my mind, this is going to be great for Kyran Moore. Him being number one in this offense when they weren't using him vertically very much, I don't think is the way that he gets to the big yards and the big plays that we would want to see. So I'm really excited to see him running side by side with Duke, with Shaq on the opposite side of the field, and to see how Calgary expects they're going to play that. Where's Jerron Wall, the safety, going to go when that's what presents itself for him? One guy to watch for tomorrow, Mitchell, will be Rashard Davis. He's on the roster for the first time this season. Jamal Morrow comes off, so Davis will take over the return game. But to hear Dickinson talk about it, they're going to have to conserve, you know, Shaq and Duke, because they're not necessarily in the football shape you would like. So I think we're going to see Rashard Davis in some 6 receiver packages. We're going to see him spell those 2 guys and perhaps get a little run in there to give Shaq and Duke a bit of a break. So I'm curious to see Rashard Davis in his Riders debut as well.
Yeah, I don't like that move, to tell you the truth, because I think they could have kept Ricardo Lewis in there. And you know that I'm a Jamal Morrow fan. I think he is ready to break one. I haven't seen Rashard Davis. I know you have because you're at practice every day. I'm generally around for the closed practices, so you know I'm just sort of looking through the gates and seeing what I can see. But I'm not crazy about that move. What is there something about Rashard Davis besides the return game? And I know you just talked about it a second ago, is maybe spelling those guys off in a five-receiver package. But what does Rashard Davis bring that maybe Ricardo Lewis didn't bring?
Oh, it's entirely within the return game. Ricardo Lewis would be a fine if you could carry.
Okay. So this is more return. So this is more return oriented then.
Well, return oriented and interesting because you have a limited roster, right? So you have to pull somebody off. So there was no way to get Ricardo Lewis on the roster unless he was going to be a linebacker quality special team player.
Okay.
So this is about one, he can do the returning, and two, that move alone makes me believe Dickinson when he says, oh, Shaq and Duke, we can't expect them to be taking every single snap. I think we're going to see some in there. Plus, Moss is going to have some stuff up his sleeve with Rashard Davis as well.
I heard you say that you've talked to some people in Calgary, and they're, I believe you said they're getting a little cocky. They've got some swagger returning to their game. Gee, what a shock. Yeah. And that's what makes it so pleasurable when Calgary gets that way and they lose. So maybe Calgary has just started developing that attitude that we all want them to develop.
I think that would be great. There would be nothing better than seeing Calgary lose. I mean, they have every right to feel good about this. They kind of had to hold on for dear life in that first game. That second game, I feel like that second game, once Bo Levi Mitchell came on the field for that final drive with the game tied, my stomach just was sinking because, oh, God, as much as Bo has thrown interceptions this season, it's still the Calgary offense in a late-game scenario with an incredible kicker. They felt like they were going to win that game. They won that game, and they have no reason to be particularly afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. So the Riders got to turn that around on them here at McMahon.
I know that it's going to be a windy afternoon for the game I'm calling in Saskatoon tomorrow between the Huskies and the Rams, and they're saying there could be some rain snow mix late tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. I'm guessing that stuff is coming from Alberta. Is it going to be weather-wise? What do you know about tomorrow?
Looks like 9 degrees with a 100% chance of rain. So hopefully it will hold off. That's more to the morning. No, it's expected to go all day as I look at the forecast. So I've got out as late as 6 p.m. here and 50% chance of precipitation. So wet field, potentially wet ball. That's where we can use receivers with giant hands who can go up and snatch it away like the Riders have.
And, of course, when you have conditions like that, really it takes a lot away from both teams, and it's one of those games where maybe whatever team gets the biggest break at the most opportune time wins the football game. It's certainly not ideal, but it's not the first time that we'd have a game in mid-October that's affected by weather. So we just got to see these two Western teams go at it again, hope for the best, and see if the Riders can break this skid. If they can't break this skid, it's going to be nasty around here, as you know, because losing to Calgary at any time is not good. Losing to Calgary 3 straight times, I've been getting beaked at all week by Stampeder fans. And I'm just like, hey, I just cover this team. And they're like, yeah, we know exactly what you're doing. It won't be pleasant if Calgary wins around here.
Yeah, Luke said it'd be coming off the plane. It's tough to beat a time 3 teams in a season. I said, it is. Imagine how tough it would be to stomach losing to a team 3 times in a season. That would be even tougher. My goodness.
All right. Well, hopefully they can pull one out tomorrow. And, of course, we'll get your call along with Luke. 7:45 tomorrow night, although we're thinking kickoff probably closer to 8. Because I don't understand why the CFL is doing this. And I know you and I talked about it this week off the air. But 7:45, 8 o'clock, just somewhere around that area, you and Luke will do your thing. And hopefully you call a win, and we'll talk to you Monday.
All right, brother.
All right. Derek Taylor with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Of course, you'll hear DT and Luke tomorrow. As I said, pregame show 4:30, kickoff 7:45. It's the back end of a doubleheader. Starting time might get pushed back a couple of minutes depending on how that first game goes. We'll have to see. But certainly hoping that the Riders can right the ship and get a win that would really help their cause for finishing second in the West and give them a little bit of confidence should they play the Calgary Stampeders in the playoffs. Because I don't care if that game's in Saskatchewan. I don't care if that game's in Calgary. If you go into a playoff game having lost three in a row to Calgary, you can't like your chances. Although, I don't even want to talk about Calgary winning four straight against Saskatchewan. Zinger, I don't want to talk about that, right?
No, no more. No more.
All right. All right. All right. Let's take a break, and let's finish this baby off when we come back. The Pats and the Blades at the Brandt Center tonight. Crowd slowly starting to file in. If you're not coming down to the Brandt Center, we'll have it for you on 620 CKRM. We'll wrap things up from the Brandt Center when we come back. You are listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Really will be Saskatchewan Sports Radio this weekend. Coming up right after this show, we'll keep it here at the Brandt Center. Dante DiCaria ready to take over the Pats and the Saskatoon Blades. Pats looking to end a five-game losing streak against the Blades team that's 4-1-1. They'll go at it again on Sunday in Saskatoon. We'll have that one for you. Tomorrow, I'll be on my way to Saskatoon. Rams, Huskies, 2 o'clock start. Chop Presh will be with me for that one. We cannot wait for that battle. And then 4:30, pregame show for the Riders and the Stampeders, and then DT and Luke at 7:45. As I said, if you're the Rams game tomorrow, we'll have that one for you until around 4:30, around the end of the third quarter, and then we're going to go online to RM2 for the end of that game and bring you the Rider pregame show. So hopefully the Rams can come out with a win there. Taking a look tonight, the Alouettes have a 7-3 lead on the Argos. They are in the first half. Boston and Houston have just gotten underway in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. The Red Sox trying to stay alive and force a Game 7 tomorrow. No score there. Can't stand the Astros. Not big on the Red Sox, but I'd rather have Boston win than Houston, so go Boston. Zinger, to the Dodgers finally get beat tomorrow?
Yes.
Atlanta's got to win tomorrow, right?
Please, please do so.
Oh,
I mean,
I'm
not a big fan of, well, yeah, I want the Braves to win that series. There's, I'm not going to lie about it. Yeah, I want Braves and I want, or sorry, I want Boston and I want the Dodgers. No, Boston and the Braves in the World Series. There, I can get my mind straight.
All right. Mitch Marner still MIA. The Sharks trail the Leafs 4, or the Sharks lead the Leafs 4-3 in the third. Mitch Marner doing nothing for Toronto. Is it the playoffs already? Later tonight, Edmonton against Vegas. Big test for Edmonton. Their stiffest test this year, of course. They are 4-0. All right, we'll wrap it up from the Brandt Center. Thanks for being a part of the show, Saskatchewan. Great show today. Thanks to my guests, Connor Bedard, Dave Struge, Dante DiCaria, Les Lazarek, Mark McConkie, DT. I'm missing somebody. I forget who it is. But thanks for being a part of the show, Saskatchewan. If you are out and about this weekend, keep it between the lines. Keep it safe. And we will talk to you on Monday. That is it from here. The show today, a presentation of Nelson Holmes. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you from Saskatoon tomorrow. You've been listening to the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.